Yep. Well, if you turn in God's word, please, to the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll take up the reading at verse 18 to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 18, this is the word of the Lord. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. May God add his blessing to that reading of his own holy and precious word. The preaching of the cross is what Paul is talking about in verse 18, where we began. The preaching of the cross, the message, the word of the cross, if you prefer, from Corinth, where there's unrest and disputes. The church, you might say, has lost its focus because of all the infighting and all the squabbling. But here Paul brings their focus, back into, into a sharp focus, the eternal destiny of men and women, which in one sense, from a human perspective, is in the hands of the people of Corinth, in the hands of the Church of God. Because this is the task that's fallen to us, that's been given to us. From God's perspective, looking down from heaven upon humanity, there are but two classes of people. We have many classifications, distinctions that we make, but God has but two, those who are saved and those who are lost. The gospel, when there's infighting, when there's squabbling, when there's distractions of of any kind at all within the church, then the gospel takes a back seat. We lose our focus, and of course, the gospel is hidden behind a smoke screen, if you like, drained of its power. Other things, of course, are brought into the church through the ages, and of course, especially so even in our day and generation. Methods, programs, drama, music, the cleverness and the eloquence of men. Entertainment galore, but it doesn't challenge men and women. It doesn't convict them. It doesn't bring them to salvation it doesn't redeem their souls. There's only one thing that does that, and that's the preaching of the cross, the message, the word of the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And of course, when the gospel is drained of its power by whatever means, hid behind a smoke screen, then the word of the cross, that is, the doctrine of the gospel, is hidden from those who are most needy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says he's done with all that. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry of reconciliation, that is, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth of the gospel, that is, the cross, Christ and him crucified, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The word, the preaching of the gospel of the cross, Christ and him crucified, the one and the only way back to God from the dark path of sin, the one and the only way to heaven. The cross, the preaching of the cross that declares all men to be guilty and unable to save themselves to do absolutely anything, lift one single little finger to prevail over one single sin. Never mind change their depraved natures. The cross is the revelation. It's the spoken word of God, the cross, the word of the cross. It's the revelation. It's a twofold revelation from God. It's the revelation of his wrath, the displeasure of God poured out upon his own son, Jesus Christ. When you consider, when you see, when you begin to grasp what Christ endured on that cross, the curse of God due to us, the wrath of God due to us, how can anyone possibly argue with the fact that God is angry with the sinner every day? The wrath of God is revealed in the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. But it's also the revelation of the love of God. The Puritan John Owen, he says, you say God's love, but he says, I look around me, where do I see God's love? In all the universe, above, below, creatures great and small, I see nothing but the wrath of God. In the cross, only in the cross. Only there at Golgotha, where God poured out his curse and his wrath upon his son in order that we might be relieved of the same, reconciled to him and know and experience his love in Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of God. And it's the one, beloved in Christ, it's the one task given. It was the one task given to Christ to go to that cross, finish the work that was given to him. And he now has passed the task on to us. I've done the work, he says, to you. He says, now I pass the baton on to you. Go and publish the message of the cross in all the world. One single task, that's all. It's not rocket science, it's not hard, it's plain, it's simple. You don't have to be clever, don't have to be prudent, don't have to be wise, just spiritual, that's all. And go and publish the message of the cross in all of Holywell, in all of Wales, in all of the United Kingdom, in all of the world. That's our God-given task, beloved in Christ. So under the heading, the preaching of the cross, the word of the cross, verse 18, the world's wisdom, verses 19 through 22, and then the simple calling in the remaining verses. The word of the cross, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God's answer to the predicament of man with regards to his guilt, the only place where that guilt that burdens him, that lies upon him, whether he feels it or not, guilty, guilty, guilty to a man, to a woman, all of us, before God, And the only place where that guilt can be lifted is there at the cross and through the preaching, the message of the cross. The answer, the only answer to the power of sin that grips the hearts and minds of men and women and looses them until that sin, whatever it is, until it lies dead at the foot of the cross, nailed to that cross by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sin is still there, still alive, still kicking. The only place where the power of sin can be broken. And the only means, the preaching of the cross. Why? Because it's God's power. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and 16. It's God's power. It's God's means of redeeming sinners. It's God's means of saving sinners, of relieving them of their guilt and breaking the cancelling the power of sin via the active work of the Holy Spirit. Now, some hear the message of the cross and it registers with them almost immediately. Yes, I see it. I get it. This is my need. This is what I've needed all my days long. And they embrace the message of the cross almost, it seems, with ease. And yet others hear it again and again and again. And it is to them nothing but the affirmation of their death sentence. It's the death knell for them. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, for we, says Paul, are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved, a sweet fragrance, that is, of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish, because men reject it, because they turn away from it, doesn't change the fragrance. It's still a sweet, it's still a beautiful fragrance. Even in them that perish, to the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. Folly, foolishness, says Paul, the preaching of the cross, foolishness to those who are perishing. And to those who see the preaching of the cross as being foolishness, that's simply the evidence that they're in the process, they're in the pathway, not of salvation, but they're in the pathway to perdition. Why? Because the one means that would save them, the message of the cross, they see it as utter foolishness. But the church today, you can try, you can modify, you know, that, well, you know, that this is, that we've been harping on about this for many, many years now, you know, and this is a modern scientific age, you know. We need to not discard the message, but we need to modify it. We need to embellish it. We need to dress it up. We need to make it look more attractive. But they do so to no avail. Beloved in Christ, let us be clear that the church in the world today, right now, that in this age, in this culture, exists for this one purpose alone, the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To reflect the glory and the grace of God to a perishing world in the preaching of the cross. Plain, unembellished, unmodified, plain, simple, foolishness to those who are perishing, let it be so. But the power of God, the power, the dynamite of God, the dynamis of God, the power of God, he says, unto salvation to those who are being saved, because the preaching of the cross, it will demonstrate, it will authenticate itself, because it's the wisdom of God that's at the back of it. It's the power of God that's in it. It's the speech of God. The preaching of the cross is God speaking. And it's the same speech that called a world, a universe, that called all creation into being. God spoke into nothing and there was everything. The same speech is speaking in the preaching of the cross. God said in the beginning, let there be light. He said in the beginning, let there be a cross where my people, my chosen people can come there and be washed and made clean and be reconciled to me and know me and love me and glorify me and serve me. Let there be a cross, he said. And when God says, let there be something, there is something. The power of God's grace is in the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's God's means, foolishness to the world, foolishness to some churches maybe, but it is still the same power of God to rescue sinners, the only power to rescue sinners. And incredible, incredible as it might be to your mind, His power, His wisdom is seen by many today as foolishness. Foolishness, says the apostle. Read if you will. I won't read the list for you, but I'm sure you know it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul gives us a list there of sinners, not exhaustive by any means. He talks about fornicators. He talks about whores and drunkards and sodomites. He says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were washed. You were saved. You were cleansed. How? By the blood, the shed blood, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross, Paul's preaching. Saved them, made them children of God, brought salvation to them. But to unto us which are saved, salvation, it is the power of God. Beloved in Christ, we can do no greater heart to Jesus Christ and His cause and to men and women around us who attend our gatherings to allow despisers of the cross to alter, to dress, to embellish the message of the gospel simply to please the carnality of men. Because whatever men think, and whoever they be, however clever they might be, whatever men think, it is God's word of love to a lost world. It's God's word of help, of healing, of comfort, of hope, of life and salvation for a perishing world. And you alter, you embellish, you drain the cross, the preaching of the cross, of its power, and you leave men and women with nothing but utter hopelessness. Look at them out there day by day, utter hopelessness. Written right, large across our nation today. So I encourage you, plead with you, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, nothing else. Wherever a man is preaching from in the Bible, and I don't care where it is, he finishes up. He best finish up here at this place, the cross. Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners, their only hope, your only hope, and mine too. The word of the cross. Secondly, the world's wisdom, verses 19 through 22. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? A rebuke to the wise, to the prudent. He's quoting Isaiah. Isaiah in 29 and verse 11, he says, and the vision of all this become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, a clever man, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. That's the world. That's the wisdom of this world. They pick up our book and they read it and they say, I can't understand this. Why? Because they're spiritually blind. Man must be born again to understand these things. Never understand the preaching of the cross. Foolishness to them until their eyes are opened, until their hearts are circumcised, until they've been reborn. They're bemused, you know. They can't see. They can't even see their own state and condition, their own lostness. The world's wisdom's incapable of seeing and solving the human state and condition. The gospel is not the product of human reason or intellect. Oh, men think that they know better. They think that their way is best, but it's not. The gospel is God's wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. And the ages, the generations testify to man's failure to recognize, even to recognize man's greatest and deepest need, and to meet man's greatest and deepest need. To deliver him from what he is by nature. Conceived in sin, born in sin, live in sin, die in sin, and go to a lost eternity, but for the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God intervening in his life. Unable to deliver man from what he is by nature, from what he is by choice, and what he is by practice. Where says the apostle here in verse 20, where is the wise? Where's the clever man? Where's the scribe? Where's the authors, he says? With all their clever and fancy ideas, in chapter 2 and verse 6, looky, he says, howbeit we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes, the rulers of this world, that come to naught, that come to nothing. That's the world's wisdom. It always ends up all their cleverness, all their philosophies of men, all their fancy ideas, all comes to nothing in the end. The cross is God's revelation, Paul says, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. All their cleverness, but yet, they still don't know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. All men can clearly see, says Paul, Romans 1, verse 19. The things of God, the invisible things of God, are clearly seen. Clearly seen by all the things that God has made. And man examines God's creation, researches God's creation, even travels and explores into outer space, and yet still, the God who's right in front of his very face, he's still blind to the reality of God and ignorant of God and of his ways. But in the sovereign wisdom of God, he has decreed to reveal himself and his salvation in this, in the preaching of the cross. In the word of the cross. Romans 10 verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or the word of Christ, if you like. Because Christ is in all the scriptures. He's the revelation of God. And his cross work is the revelation of God's redemption. And it's God's only method. This is Paul in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Whoever I go to, whoever, doesn't matter who he is or what he is, this is the message that he needs to hear. This is what we preach. And when he says we, he's bringing you into this as a church, as an individual, and me too. We, this is what we do. We preach Christ and him crucified. to Jews, Gentiles, Roman Catholics, Muslims, whatever men are, whatever they be. The preaching of the cross, preaching, beloved in Christ, in the religious sphere and secular as well, or they think that preaching is, well, that's a secondary matter now. That's an irrelevant activity. Well, we won't do away with it altogether, but we'll still have 10 minutes tagged on at the end of all the music. Huh? Even the church demonstrates, even the church in the United Kingdom today, even the church in our land demonstrates our own unbelief in the message of the cross and in the preaching of the cross by the things that they're turning to. That entertains people, pleases people, draws many, many people into their assemblies, but leaves them untouched. They go away just the same as they were when they came in through the door. Because only the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the way back to God, is the means of salvation. So whatever men think, beloved in Christ, the preaching of the cross, it still saves, it still delivers, and it still empowers men and women to newness of life. By the word of the cross, the word of a crucified and a risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, that we might take up the baton, and that we might run with it and publish the good news in all the world. Jesus Christ has been crucified, His blood shed for sin, that we might be washed and made clean, that men and women might be redeemed, brought to a knowledge of God, a true knowledge of God, brought to salvation, and risen again from the dead, declaring God's intention in raising His Son from the dead, giving notice to the world that He intends to judge the world in the last day. That which has a beginning has an end. The world had a beginning, and it will have an end. Your life had a beginning and it will have an end. After either one, the end of the world or the end of your life, what comes next? Judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. And the only way that judgment can be turned into a judgment of commendation rather than condemnation is before the cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and embracing Him who loved sinners and who endured that cross, that shame, that curse, that wrath, took the sin of the world upon Himself, that in truly believing, your condemnation can be turned into a judgment of commendation. Thirdly and finally, the simple calling, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling. You see your calling. This is our calling, beloved. This is our calling. This is the prevailing want in our evangelical churches today. Simplicity. What do I mean by simplicity? I mean no partiality, no show, no pomp, no circumstance, no seeking for the applause of men. It's that singleness of I that Jesus talks about. In another context, Paul, he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, let him do it with simplicity, that is, with a singleness of mind. Matthew 6:22, Jesus says, if therefore thine eye be single-minded, yeah? Not dim, not confused, clear vision, discerning what the objective is and what is the objective of the church, to preach the cross, to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the objective. That's the calling. One simple calling. Do this, says the Savior. This is the Apostle Paul. From the moment that he's converted, all his energy, all his powers, intellectual and otherwise, go into it, all his energy into the single objective, preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified wherever he goes. Clever philosophers at Athens or Jews in Jerusalem, it's the same message, Christ and him crucified. You see it in God himself in creation. He creates everything. Every single atom in this universe that holds it together. Every particle of dust. Every human being born into this world. Everything he created. Everything. One single purpose for his glory. All for his glory. What you and I exist for. Revelation 14 and 7, fear God and give glory to him. That's the gospel. That sums up the entire gospel. You say, how can it? It doesn't mention sin. It doesn't have to. What is it not to fear God? What is it not to glorify God? That's the sin. That's what we exist for, to fear God and give glory to him. The cross, the word of the cross, the message of the cross, the preaching of the cross, God's remedy for man's alienation from him, to bring him back to God. And we are given the simple calling, simplicity, single eye, one objective. Yeah, we are appointed, divinely appointed, to cooperate with God in this. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, we then as workers together with him. Working together with God, not against him, not contrary to his purpose, but working together with him. One simple objective in view, the single eye, simplicity. We're given converting grace in order that we might be saved, salvation, and all that that means, forgiveness, reconciled to God, all that and all the joy that comes with it. But in order, not just in order, it's faith that works by love, beloved. Faith that works by love in order to promote the salvation that has come to us, to tell others we are appointed, divinely appointed, messengers of mercy. As the Father sent the Son, as the Savior was sent, so he sends us. As thou hast sent me into the world, he says, John 17, even so have I also sent them into the world. What to do? To stand about gazing up to heaven, waiting for him coming again? No, to be busy, busy people. Doing what? Preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified to everybody and anybody who will listen. Promiscuously preaching the gospel to all men. He has made us apostles to the world. Not apostles in the original sense. I'm not talking about the 12 and the extraordinary gifts and stuff that they had. I mean it just simply in what the word apostle means, sent ones. You are his sent ones. and sent to publish the gospel, Jesus Christ and him crucified, to proclaim the cross. So, beloved, as a church, Holy Will Evangelical Church, and as individuals here in this room this evening, consider yourself called of God to be an apostle in that sense, a sent one, and go and do his bidding, publish the cross. Consider yourself consecrated to that very office with simplicity, with a singleness of eye. That's your objective. Your business, everything else. We're no longer our own, beloved. We're his blood-bought children, are we not? Huh? We talk about, we say, you know, maybe perhaps you'll say, well, you know, my house, my car, my money. No. His money, his house, his car, his church, everything is his. We are his lock, stock, and barrel. And we are supposed to live unto him and to this one single purpose, the publishing of Jesus Christ and him crucified in all the world. Consecrated to that. You are Christ's representatives in the world. And you're to be beseeching men to be reconciled to God. You have an example, if you like, in Jesus Christ himself. Nothing, every temptation that came to him was to turn him away from the cross. He's tempted by Satan in the desert. Basically, the temptations amount to this. Look, you don't have to go to that cross. You don't have to do all that suffering stuff. You can have all the kingdoms of the world. You can be the king, but you don't have to go to that cross. In the garden, the ultimate test in Gethsemane comes to him. Anything to keep him from going to that cross. And Satan will tempt you in just the same way today. Talk to people about the cross. Talk to my neighbor about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He'll think I'm absolutely crazy, so what? Huh? Not all the temptations of the devil could keep Jesus Christ from going to that cross. The Jews offered to make him a king as well. He turned that down. Not all the opposition of wicked men and their lies, nothing but nothing would turn him aside from going to that cross. And I say to you this evening, if you love Jesus Christ and you love the souls of men, then go and publish abroad. With your every breath, go and publish the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's a simple calling. It's our only calling. And with a single eye, one objective, to lift up Jesus Christ in a perishing world, that men and women, as you have been saved, that they too would be saved. Churches, Christians who say, no, we don't do that. No, we won't do that. Well, I wonder to myself, a Christian or a church that has no care for the lost, has no concern for a perishing world, a perishing sinner, have they ever been through that turnstile? Have they ever been through the straight gate? Have they entered into the narrow way? Have they actually themselves been to the cross? Have their eyes been opened before Jesus Christ and him crucified and gazed upon the Son of God, and the Son of Man, and seen and beheld, he's there. He did that for me, for my sins, for my rebellion. How can a man, how can a woman see that beloved and not be changed forever? And not have a concern for the souls of others? How could that be? The cross. It brings salvation, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, not you yourself, this is something God does, who of God is made unto us wisdom, the wisdom of God, and righteousness as justification, justified unto all eternity, justified freely from all that you've ever done, said or thought, justified, sanctified, separated from the world and separated unto God. And redemption, that's the whole nine yards, that's the whole thing. Yeah. Predestined, called, justified, and glorified. The whole package. And where does the woman get that from? Golgotha, Calvary, the cross, where the Son of God bled and died for a sinner like me, that I might know God, and that one day I might share heaven with him who loved me and gave himself for me. And the light of that cross as it shines down upon me, upon us here tonight, pours contempt, utter contempt on all our pride. Paul finishes, he says, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We have nothing of which to glory in, have we, of ourselves? Because it was all of God, it was all of his doing, his sovereign grace, bringing us, drawing us to the cross, to his Son, and clothing us in his righteousness. And now, that which we looked for, that which we sought in the world, we looked for, we longed for, but never could find. We drank at the broken cisterns of this world, and never could we find what we were looking for, love and life and lasting joy. Found only in Jesus Christ and him crucified. It begins at the cross and it finishes in glory. That's our gospel. That's the gospel that saved me. And if you're saved here tonight, well, it's the gospel that saved you. And it's the gospel that the town of Holywell needs to hear. Yeah. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lift up your voices. Cry aloud, spare them not. Tell them of their sin, tell them of their transgression, and tell them of Jesus. Crucified, dead, buried, and raised again from the dead, and yet mighty, mighty to save, the power of God unto salvation. Amen.